across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers. What compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram and welcome to a new episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this series, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Today's episode is part 3 of a 5-part conversation with Mr. Hari Shankar, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently working for the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust at Prashanthi Nilayam. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured as part of Thursday Live during February 2015.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, greetings and a warm welcome. And this is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai. And to co-host this show with me, I have Brother Hari Shankar from Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Sai Ram, brother.
Sai Ram.
Warm welcome.
Thank you.
So at the very outset, let us collectively offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. If you are there with us, me and Hari Shankar, brother, we are discussing on the topic on service to society from last couple of weeks. If you are there with us, you may be aware that we are discussing on the topic, has Seva the means for inner development? So today we'll continue from where we left last week. So, brother, how about having a quick recap of
what? Yeah, so for the benefit of listeners who may have not listened to the previous sessions, so this segment we are dealing with, as you said, Seva as a means for inner development. And what we've covered so far in this segment is that how does Seva contribute to our inner growth?
Yes.
So we first looked at some of the qualities like empathy. So we talked about how during Grama Seva, when the students, that's a part of the curriculum of the Institute of Higher Learning. So when the students, they go out for a period of 10 days to the various villages around Puttaparthi with Swami's prasadam and gifts of clothes, etc. That is an opportunity where they cultivate what it is to locate yourself in somebody else's life.
Correct.
How life appears from their point of view.
Yeah.
And it also sensitizes us to others' problems. So all the time we are consumed with, solving our so-called problems. And then when you're able to see what somebody else is going through. And I just was speaking to one of our alumni who passed out 2 years ago from the MBA course and is now working with a corporate. And he was sharing with me, he is in the finance sector, in the mutual funds, right? And he said that when he joined for the job and being a branch manager, right, he has a team of support staff which are located in Chandigarh.
Okay.
He works in another city located nearby, but the support staff for him is located in Chandigarh. And he had always made it a point, it came very naturally to him to be always courteous, understanding of their problems,
Yeah.
So sometimes they wouldn't be able to handle all the logistics very perfectly, but he would never scream at them. And he later came to know that that wasn't the normal practice.
Okay.
All the other branch managers who were located in that region, the Punjab region, they used to treat the support people almost like trash.
Yeah, they used to boss on them.
They used to boss over them, dominate them, scream at them and really treat them like trash. And he said that his training was not like that. He was very well aware that they could make mistakes at times, to be kind when necessary, be firm if...
Having come from Sai University.
Yeah, so that was a training, was a training he had had over here. And that really came, you know, it kind of bore fruit when there was a change of boss at Chandigarh branch. So that boss, he spoke to the support staff in order to get a sense of how the branch managers are doing. And all the support staff unanimously spoke of this particular student of ours as being the best branch manager. Because in their experience, he was a very empathizing, very kind, understanding person. So that first impression which the boss got of this of our student, it was a very high opinion.
Very nice. In fact, when you said that Gram Sevak gives us a chance to see others' point of view.
Yeah.
It seems Swami once told in his discourse to students, he almost like was asking the students, how can you have sumptuous and delicious food when your brothers and sisters are starving outside?
That's right.
In villages, how can you wear expensive clothes when your brothers and sisters don't have enough to cover themselves in winter?
Yeah, so that expands our consciousness, our awareness, you know, to a larger circle than just ourselves or our friends and family. And so going on to the other points that was covered, so this, we said about how seva creates a sense of purpose and meaning in our lives, and especially for youth, this is something very, very important. But in general, for everyone, see, having a purpose that is, that some inspires you, calls you to action, is something that really has you jump out of bed every day. You know, instead of waking up, rubbing your eyes and hitting snooze, you wake up with the sense that there is something to do. And that's having a sense of purpose creates that. And we looked at, you know, Swami always says that your work is worship. And how we can look at our work itself as a way of serving society. So looking at the larger purpose of what we do. Like, for example, we spoke about how finance is something. You know, we looked down at Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, and how they're greedy and all. But finance is a way of creating abundance in people's lives. You can create that sense of purpose in what you do. And the very obvious example is for teachers, educators. Teachers get to shape the lives of their students. So that is a very important purpose. It goes beyond teaching your everyday syllabus. You get to interact with the students and shape how they think. And there are many examples of great educators who actually done this, exhibited this. And we always remember such teachers in our own lives, isn't it? So in fact, Swami reminds us in many discourses, and aimed especially at students and youth, that the skills and talents we possess are to be used for the service of society. While many of us do participate in acts of seva regularly, how about we expand that by looking upon our work itself as an opportunity to serve society? And that's how our work gets converted to worship. It's not that we undertake those acts of seva at over a weekend, like over Narayan Seva or a visit to a, you know, a orphan's home or a home for the aged. It's always available to us.
Yeah, in fact, when you said that we should make use of our talents and gifts in this to the service
in
of
that period,
society.
Yeah,
this Rhythmic Energy Band group, you may be aware of it, right?
Yes.
The brass band that we have in university, after they graduate, they have formed a band group called Rhythmic Energy.
So
the old students, they join that band group. So it seems now this band group, they are making use of their talent of music sense, and they're going to orphanages and old age homes and cheering up the people by giving some music performance.
Fantastic.
They're bringing smiles in their faces, isn't it?
Yeah, they travel to so many places, Hyderabad, Pune, Chennai. And the other, Raghu, the interesting dynamic about seva, right? We were talking about how this has really jumped out of our skins and then expand that circle of concern beyond our own, you know, petty selves or our own very small circle which encompasses our family and friends. And what really gets created out of this, it's very interesting to see. We spoke about that example that Swami gives, you know, like if you have a small line, sorry, a line and you want to make it smaller. And let's take that line to represent our concerns, our problems, right? And throughout life, we are trying to erase and make that line smaller. But Swami says that what is the most effective way of Making that line smaller is not to try and erase it, because in our experience, the more you try to erase it, maybe sometimes the line grows bigger, but the size is almost the
broader
same.
Broader or whatever.
No matter what you do. And so, Swami gives a very clever way of getting around this. He says you draw a bigger line line, and immediately that line has become smaller.
It looks small.
The perception is now suddenly it is way smaller than what it is.
Yeah.
And one example, a person who is very well known to practically any listener, is of Mahatma Gandhi. So, if you look at Gandhiji and his life, right, so many of us, we address him as the father of the nation.
Correct.
He, out of his very unique, non-violent resistance to the British, he was able to secure independence for the country. And nowhere, almost no other example of a country that won its independence through purely non-violent means. So, that became an inspiration to so many people like Martin Luther King in his civil disobedience movement, etc. And if you look at a person like Gandhiji, he inspired that many people. He was a great leader and obviously a very good orator. But Raghu, you will be surprised to know that as a youth, as soon as he joined as a barrister in South Africa, he struggled with issues like his confidence.
Okay.
He would struggle with he always wanted to become a good orator, but even in while arguing in a court of law, he would absolutely be tongue-tied.
Okay.
The thoughts would not flow at all in his mind. He would be that scared and that nervous. So he would to earn his own living, he would not be able to speak. He was that kind of person. Yeah, he used to struggle with these issues. How to build my confidence. Yeah, we'll never be able to, associate that. But that is how he began. And he used to work a lot on that. You know, just like many of us, we have so many issues. Like maybe we tend to lose our temper very often. Many of us do have issues with our confidence. And you notice how we try to read all those self-help books, try to motivate ourselves. And how many of us really experience like improvement or any change in that kind of situation? You're not able to transform that situation at all. But what Mahatma Gandhi then did was to drop all this. You know, he said, I'm going to stop thinking about these things. And then he took on the purpose, he was inspired one day to take on the purpose of liberating the Indians, improving the situation of Indians in South Africa.
Okay.
He took on that purpose. And as he worked towards that and he achieved it to a very large measure, he then decided that if I can do this in South Africa, why not do it in India?
Yes.
And that's how that, you know, he came to India and that movement for independence really took on. And completely unnoticed by him, somewhere suddenly all those qualities that he wanted, right, of having that self-confidence, being able to speak to a public gathering. Imagine, this was no more the courtroom. He's addressing very huge audiences.
The
all
nation
over
is addressing.
Yeah. So to now, if I speak about Gandhiji as a person who did not have confidence and who could not speak to a public gathering, nobody believes it. But that's the, he worked very hard otherwise.
Yeah.
Prior to this, working on himself in order to get those qualities didn't work for him. The moment he started to work for a larger purpose, those qualities automatically got added onto him.
That's a good example of drawing a bigger line.
Right? Yeah, automatically your line became smaller.
Smaller.
Right? Yeah.
In fact, I know one story. It seems there was one person, very elderly man, Victor. He was about 80 years old or something. But he was a corporate trader, a rogue.
I see.
And he used to just go to corporate companies and just raid the company.
Okay.
He used to make the pension plans of the employees to his account. He used someone used to hack the account and everything. But he got caught and he was produced in court. And the punishment that which was given to him was, since he was an elderly person, about 80, 85 years old, so the judge said, you have to do community service. That is your punishment. Victor said, oh, okay, I can do it. Then, but the judge said, see, from morning 6 o'clock to evening 6 o'clock, you have to do community service, and you should not skip even one day. That's your punishment.
Okay.
So this Victor started doing community service. He started going to the poor people, going to the villages. In fact, he was taken by the police to villages. He started distributing food, started giving blankets, clothes. Now, the joy that he saw from the villagers changed him completely.
Is it?
Okay. And after that, he made a decision to serve the people. He started building homes for them.
Wow.
And started building schools. So this is also a kind of he got a purpose in his life.
Yeah. Notice how this is something that we'll actually bring up a little later in the program, called like how we can inculcate values in people in this way. It's a very good example to draw from. So can we now really get into what the main point of discussion today?
Yes.
And we look at seva as a means of self-discovery.
Yeah.
And like Gandhiji said, that if you want to really find out who you are, a great means is to actually get into seva, into service of society. That's how you discover who you are. And Swami, this is a question that many people ask about the organization. If you notice, many of our activities, the sadhana activities, are meant to be done in a group. Like we've got service, which puts you among people. You've got bhajan, which Swami has always encouraged group bhajans. In fact, towards the end, we used to see, Swami would ensure that it is two people who sing.
Two boys sing.
Yeah, two students. Yeah, people. He made that as a norm, that two people sing on the mic. You don't sing individually. So, the thing about seva is, that's what it does. It puts you there out among people. You're there among people.
Yeah,
not in your own solitude, not in your home. And you notice, see, in our own lives, I mean, if you're closeted within your own room, you are balanced, you are mature, you are evolved, the most realized soul. And in the comfort of your solitude, all that works. You're a very wise person.
When you mingle with others, different kinds of people.
Exactly. The moment you put ourselves among people, poof, all that, suddenly disappears.
Yeah.
We don't know what gets triggered. Like somebody bumps into you, pushes you, says something rude to you. All that realization suddenly evaporates, right? So that is the challenge that Swami puts us through. And as Swami often says, like the heads in the forest, but hands in the society.
Hands should be in society, yes.
Yeah. So this is the challenge that Swami puts in front of us. In a forest, you can always be transformed. In your bathroom, you can always be transformed. But among people, how do you express that same wisdom? How do you express that transformation? You really have to cultivate that kind of fortification of your own, understanding, your own wisdom, your transformation.
I'm just reminded of a Chinnakada that Swami has said regarding on this topic.
Yeah.
Like it seems there was one husband and wife, and husband was very short-tempered. He used to get very angry very easily. So he tells his wife, I will go to forest, I will do meditation for a few months and I'll come back. I'll conquer my anger and I'll come back.
Right.
So he'll go to forest and he'll start meditation, and after a few months he'll come back home and he'll tell his wife, see, now I won't get angry anymore. I conquered my anger.
Right.
Then wife will ask, have you really conquered your anger? Yes. I won't get angry anymore, he'll tell. Then the wife will repeat the question again and again.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Have you really conquered your anger? You won't get angry anymore. After a time, he really gets angry. I've told him so many times, I should say.
Yeah.
So then the wife says, see, you have not conquered your anger. So it's very easy when you go out to forest and just be in solitude when nobody is there around. But yeah, as you said, we should be in the society and mingle with people. Then only our true nature will come out.
Absolutely. Really, if you want to test like how one you feel with the world, I always feel that the best way of doing that is to stand in a queue.
I mean,
there is no better way to test your patience, your, how much divinity you see in other people, than just actually stand in a queue. That's when you become so aware of who you are and who the others are. So, Swami, actually, I've heard somebody mention this. Swami gave the example. He said, you're all like very, very sharp, unpolished stones. I put all of you in a bag. And then I start to shake that bag vigorously.
Okay.
Right? And then you notice in that rubbing against each other, at the end what you have got is many, round, polished, smooth stones.
Stones.
So that, I heard that this is the example that Swami used to give. And this self-discovery, this whole journey of self-discovery, and Swami says that it is a journey from I to we, and then from we to he, which is the final destination. So in the first leg of this journey is the journey from I to we, when we first get out into society. Right? We join society in a task maybe that helps society, or we get into bhajan which is always, as we said in the Satyasai organization, you do it as a group. So the first leg of that journey, the first phase is the journey from I to V.
I to V, that is we lose our individuality or whatever.
Yeah, identity. The first, we expand, we don't lose the individuality as much as expand it. Maybe we'll be discussing this in another segment. But let us understand that what Seva is about basically is expanding that circle of awareness, that circle of concern, right, to a larger group. Okay. And as much as you can, like, if, you know, somebody who is a patriot, for example, his sense of concern is for the entire nation.
Yes.
And if you look at environmentalists and you're looking at those who want to appease hunger, they don't really have a sense of this country or that country. They could be fighting for a country like Somalia or any, you know, their concern is that.
Humanity as a large.
Yes, for humanity at large. Like, just like if you take our hospitals, our super specialty hospitals, they cater to who? They cater to just about anybody.
Anybody, yes.
It doesn't matter, are you rich, are you poor, which caste, which religion do you follow? None of that.
Correct.
The water projects, they supply water to who? It just doesn't matter, are you rich, are you poor, like are you suffering or not suffering? That love is something that flows to everybody. Right? So that vision is that large. That circle of concern is very, very large. So this is the very first thing. You first start expanding that concern and the putting yourself among people, you sensitize yourself to your problems, try to locate yourself in what their lives are. What is it like for them? You know? So when you begin to inquire into that question, we are now on the journey, that phase of the journey, which is from I to V.
Okay.
Right? And then we got to look at what happens next, you know, this, when we engage in this, seva, how does the next phase happen? That journey from V to He.
V to He.
What happens? How does it happen? That's a very interesting thing. See, seva is an activity. It requires us not only to be with people, but also at times to carry them along. Like you created a purpose called, let's say, like something like a Narayan Seva you want to have, or something bigger that you want to create a bus shelter for people there. The example can be, you know, expanded like anything.
Yeah.
But if you notice any such project that you take up, right? This is a very good opportunity for you to keep looking at various things about your own self. If you can reflect at the end of the day, you could look at questions like, you know, what are some things that people do or say that annoys you or angers you? That irritates you in some way. And it does happen. There's something that a person says that puts you off.
Yeah, correct.
Right? What are some situations or circumstances that have you feel uncomfortable or even confronted? You know, like a person says something and immediately you get on the defensive. Something shrinks within you and you feel that I am being threatened at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of those things? Do I shy away from having to stand up and speak up to people, right, about the vision of service that I have? You can look at that. What is it that comes in the way of my being able to express what purpose I have in mind? See, many of us shrink away from such things, right?
Yeah,
we try to leave that part of it. I mean, we have a great vision. We have something, very noble intention that we have. But where we lose it is we are not able to communicate to people merely because we are afraid of standing up to people, standing in front of people to express that. Do I avoid having to go up to people and make requests, seek permissions? You know, sometimes you have to go to a government authority or somebody elder. Do I resist that? You know, and am I afraid of people saying no to my face? This is a very big fear, Raghu, people have, that they absolutely don't want to do this because they already anticipate that people will say no to them. You know, because people have a great fear of being rejected.
Yeah, correct.
So they feel, anyway they want to say no, why even try?
They are close-minded.
Yeah, not close-minded, it's a fear. You know, right? What they already have decided what's going to happen, right, in the future. And am I concerned that people are judging me? What are they saying about me? See, that's a big concern we have, no? We are always conscious of people looking at us, judging us, what opinion they have. We try to win their admiration. Then, is it a source of worry to me that people may challenge the course of action that I suggested? See, that people rejecting or that's something that I used to face, that I used to get stopped, you know, trying to suggest a course of action because I used to feel that how will I feel if they challenge me?
Yeah.
I should not look like a fool in front of people, right? We don't feel that maybe, you know, you can crowdsource the idea people around me can contribute such that it happens. No? So you can also look at, very important, Raghu, is what are some prejudices that I carry about people? You will never realize, it's hidden deep within you, the kind of prejudices that you have when you confront certain kind of people.
Okay.
Right? I'll give you an example from my own life. When I was studying in the college, that time this was in Chennai, so they used to organize a very beautiful service. There were some certain hospitals which were run, some by devotees, some not, who used to do these cataract operations for free.
Okay.
Among the poor people, it is so prevalent. And what happens is one thing is lack of awareness. They don't know that suddenly their vision is getting clouded. For what reason is it getting clouded? They don't even know there's a very simple treatment that is available for that. And it is free.
Okay.
Right? So what we used to do every Saturday, Sunday, from our college, there used to be one professor and a handful of us who used to go. And it's a very simple test, just hold up our fingers and ask them, you know, very simple vision test.
Okay.
We used to conduct that. Now, I remember that after having done that, we diagnosed that cataract, we used to direct them, saying like, go to such and such hospital in so and so place, a place called Mylapore in Chennai. And I remember one lady, she's just kept saying, no, 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 I won't go, I won't go. Like that time my understanding of Tamil was very little. So I asked somebody next to me, what is this lady saying? Like, he said the professor is telling her that this is the hospital. You should go and get your operation done over there. And she's saying no. I asked why. So she's a little bit afraid that people may do, they're trying to take advantage of her situation, etc. And at that moment when I heard that, I just exclaimed without thinking, I said, how dumb. And that was heard by her grandson, who was about our age. That really enraged him. He said, what do you people think? You know, you think that you are all more intelligent than us? And somehow the professor, he pacified the situation. I got out of it alive, of course. And then he took me aside. He said, Hari, you know, you're not understanding, you're not trying to understand what it looks like from their side.
Yeah, correct.
That the numerous people, they come and they always feel it is a trap. That something, when they go to that hospital, something will be asked of them which they never anticipated.
Yeah.
And you're not understanding that. And maybe I had a prejudice that they being poor, they're not being aware of things, and they don't trust anybody who comes.
You know, generally, in most of the cases, we won't know what others have gone through, the suffering and other things. And we just judge people and come to a conclusion.
Yeah, we're not open, we're not trying to really learn. In our minds is already set, they are like this.
Yeah.
The poor people are like this, they're uneducated, they don't know what it's about. And that lack of understanding, so that was one of the things that came. But also, Raghu, one very important thing, like there are some things, you know, even as you are trying to carry out a noble purpose or a noble project, you'll always have detractors. You know, people, it could even be in your own team, or it could be people, somebody is observing what you're doing. You'll always have a set of people who say it can't be done, or why you're doing this, it's wrong, you know.
Discouraging.
Yeah, the people who discourage. And you could look at what are some things people do or say that triggers of a reaction within you that has you disempowered or discouraged so much so that you stop being part of that noble purpose, which you're privileged to be part of. Something that a person says, one small remark, you know, how that sets off that reaction in you, that you get discouraged, that you feel disempowered. What are some of these things within you? And you really begin to understand about yourself, more about yourself, this entire process. And one by one, you begin to identify what are those trigger buttons about you, what sets you off, you know. And that, in fact, is just your petty little identity. That is your crummy little self, which you so love, that is so cherished, that is so nourished, right? And this is the thing, almost most of us, when we are not, you know, introduced to our divine master or some great philosophy, most of our lives, we will spend pandering to this small little self. And that's why we always live our lives, you know, we feel that, yeah, we are earning money, yeah, we have the power and the fame, and yet we always feel dissatisfied. Because what we are doing is just fulfilling that small little self, you know, it's like a small little child, in fact.
Yeah.
And you're spending your entire life trying to satisfy that little child, which never, ever gets satisfied.
Wonderful. A lot of self-introspection, right?
Absolutely.
Seva gives a chance to...
And it has to be done that way, you know. It's not a mechanical. Most people associate seva with, they say karma marga is just you doing, you know, the some certain mechanical activities, your brain can be switched off and all you have to do is be functional, be operative. It's not that.
No, a lot of transformation goes on inside.
Yeah, it's a great means of self-discovery. You
can why Swami always says, it's more beneficial to the doers who serve people, the society. It's more beneficial to them than the beneficiaries.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The changes that is brought in the volunteers are more than the beneficiaries.
Yeah. It is like being at the cutting edge of awareness. No? Like even as you're doing this, your mind is at that border between like your small self and that bigger society in front of you. So that causes a beautiful dynamic where you can, now you can actually witness yourself. You know, you're actually in that kind of witness state. You're not really judging, you're not reacting to anything, you're just observing, oh, this is what happens, this is how so-called, you know, Hari is constituted this way, the personality. These are the constituents of his personality. You begin to identify that.
In fact, I just want to narrate one incident. This was told by Gene Massey, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. You may be aware of him, right? Gene Massey, the Hollywood filmmaker.
Yes.
So, it seems he was in Los Angeles once, and one person comes to him asking for money. And the person says, see, I have just come out of prison, I am looking for a job, so I'm still in lookout of a job, I want some money. Then it seems that Gene Massey, what he did was, he not only gave him money, but he took him to a restaurant, ordered food for him, ate with him. And after that, the man was fully in tears, it seems.
Right.
And he told, see, sir, nobody has done this for me till now.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm asking for money from last couple of days, but people used to just give me money and go off. But no one came with me to restaurant and had food with me, and it's really great. So don't you think this is a difference between the people who are already involved in service, who are already in the path of seva and are to Swami's devotees, and other people?
It could be, but you know, as you were saying this, one example that sprung to my mind, there was this mining group, still is actually, a group called Lonmin, which is based in South Africa, this is a mining company. And they always have teething troubles because many of their employees are, they are very poor people who have to work in very abysmal conditions, which no human should actually subject himself to such conditions. Like, to give you an example, they could spend about 48 hours in what is called the dark shift. So they, during the daytime, they enter the mine. It's a coal mine. So they enter the mine during the daytime and they come out in the night. So they're always spending their time in the dark, which wreaks havoc with their psyche. Right. So they're always dealing with strikes and this and that. And at one point of time, really did look like that company would break down. And they had this CEO, a new CEO called Brad Mills, who came there, and when he wanted to transform that situation, one of the first things he did was to go to the hostel where all the workers used to stay. He actually went there and he slept. He would sleep there in the same hostel. And that was a total shift even for the workers, because they saw that it was not an empty statement that we are here to support you, we will try to find out what your needs are, we will take action to improve your living conditions. They saw that a CEO who could live a life of luxury somewhere in London in the best 5-star hotels, he was sleeping in their hotel in their surroundings. And you know, it's a very violent society. Right. And even the others, they cautioned him, saying that he shouldn't be doing such a thing. Yet he did it. And he says that when he woke up in the morning, he realized that he is the safest man in the whole of Africa. The reason was that these ferocious laborers, when he woke up, he saw that they had all remained awake and they were standing as guards around him. It happens that, you know, people, the moment they take this action, really of going out of their own bounds, and that compassion is there, Raghu, in everybody. It's just that we are stopped sometimes from expressing it. And this person, when he expressed it, he could bring out real radical changes in the way people perceived that company.
In fact, I feel two types of changes. Like the change for CEO also, he also would have seen the condition of the workers there. And also for the workers, they also would have felt, wow, this person,
he is with
a
us.
Big man.
They started to work with him. It was a major change. And
it's a win-to-win situation for both of them.
It unfortunately, after he left, it went back to that same, you know, default way of being, because the new CEOs, they didn't feel that this is something you have to
do. Yeah, other people. Yeah. Yeah.
But it is important to notice that when the action that this person took, what a fantastic consequence it had.
Mm, yeah, correct.
Right?
So, shall we wind up for today?
Yeah,
I will continue the conversation next week.
Definitely. There's just a little more material that has to be covered. I'm pretty sure we'll be able to do it in the next session.
And after that, we'll be talking on what all Swami has told.
Yes, that is very important.
Seva, right?
How should Seva be conducted? Mm. Completely drawn from Swami's discourses. Very important in several conferences, world conferences and national conferences that Swami himself convened for the Seva groups. This is way back, 70s, 80s.
Mm.
So what is the kind of instruction that Swami had given, which is for us the gold standard of how we conduct ourselves during Seva? We'll be taking that.
Yeah, next week.
The week after.
Yeah. So dear listeners, we hope you all are inspired and benefited by the conversation that we are having on service to society. Please join us with this conversation. Please send us your feedback, suggestions. If you have any questions, please write to us. Our email ID is listener@radioside.org. So as we said, we will continue this discussion next week. So placing this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet, myself and Brother Harishankar, take your leave and we will meet you again. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. You just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you part 3 of a 5-part conversation with Mr. Harishankar, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently working for the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust at Prashanthi Nilayam. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured live as part of Thursday Live during February 2015. Dear listener, please do send us your feedback and comments. We'll look forward to your mails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.